welcome to the God is a Geek podcast. My name's Adam Cook, and thank you to Chris White for hosting last week. I needed the day off. Terrible. But he's not here this week. But thank you anyway, Chris. No snark, no nastiness. Just thank you, Chris. Thank you also, Adam Carroll, for being here every week, pretty much.
Jesus, sorry.
I'm sorry, have I shocked you with my kindness? I don't know.
Oh, I nearly died from tea. Oh my God. Oh,
really? That's not a way to go.
Yeah, yeah. You're very welcome, Adam. You're very welcome. I'm always okay. happy to be here.
Okay, Gary, I think you're probably up there with Near Enough every week now, aren't you, Gaz?
Yeah, I think I am now.
Okay.
Never thought that'd happen, I'll be honest.
No, and do you know what? I enjoyed. I don't want to get too much insidery stuff. No one wants to hear me go on about how great the God is a Geek team is. I enjoyed listening to Chris last night. Well, a lump to my anus. And I was really, really, really proud of you guys. Great podcast last week. I am quite surprised. I will say I'm quite surprised because round about now, I'll be completely behind the curtain time. I am usually saying to people, right, this is the date we're going to do at least our first couple of days of Game of the Year. Right now, I can't do that because the games, they don't stop. They won't stop.
They won't stop.
Right now, Tetris Effect is out. Spyro, by the time you listen to this, Spyro Reignited Trilogy is out. Battlefield 5, it's already kind of came out, but it's also out properly. And Hitman and Fallout. And just, what the hell? This is some packed end of the year, isn't it? I just want to appreciate that for a minute.
Yeah, this is probably bizarre. This is the first year I think I've been really behind on certain titles because they're just
really
I'd be
with you on that.
I still have to touch Assassin's Creed. I know Gaz has to play Red Dead. Like,
yeah,
do you know? And it's really annoying because I always like going into Game of the Year pods with at least some sort of goal of every title.
I don't know. See, I don't know it's going to be possible because, do you know what? I actually didn't even mention then Just Cause 4, which we will talk about later a little bit. I didn't mention Pokemon Let's Go. And whether or not you guys are excited about that, neither of you can deny it's a huge game. And Darksiders 3 is this month as well. Like, it is. People talked about Red Dead being this like big game killer, and like, you know, Black Ops was before that. They got out of the way. But November's brutal. And again, we'll get to that later. I want to start off though, and apologies a little bit. I missed last week, so it's kind of the Adam Cook show this week, talking about some games I've been playing. And the first one is Tetris Effect, right? And there's a reason I want to start with Tetris Effect. And that is because I'm just going to let you two now, because you two are both likely going to be on the Game of the Year pods, I want you to both know I'm probably going to be fighting very hard for Tetris Effect to be in our top 10 of the year. Not any other list, the actual top 10 of the year. And I want to know right now, how do you feel about that?
Gaz, do you want to go first?
See, I'm surprised.
Fuck you, Gary.
But I'm not...
Straight in.
I'm sorry, it's not the wrong podcast. Please continue, Gary.
Not even because it's, you know, I expected bad things or anything like that. It's literally just I didn't expect the response this game's got.
No.
I mean, I'll be honest, I've not looked at it yet myself, so I can't comment
too much. I'll say this, just very briefly. I'm not going to dwell on this part. Obviously, when reviews go up, when Call of Cthulhu went up, like Gary, you reviewed it. Adam, you'd played it. I think you'd finished it. No, you hadn't finished it because you couldn't.
Yeah.
I'd played a few hours of it. And I think probably all three of us, I think Gary, did you give it a six? I think you gave
six.
Yeah, I don't think I would have given it a six. I don't think Adam would have given it a six, but that's kind of the beauty of the podcast. So in that respect, the reason I'm saying that is that, like, Chris gave Tetris Effect a 9. Okay, which is a fucking brilliant score. Okay, Tetris Effect for me is a 10.
Whoa,
it's that good. So it.
Yeah, but then again, so is Tetris.
Anyway, I refer to what I said a few minutes ago, Gary.
I said I'd go into this podcast, guys, being nice to you. Okay, so let's try and keep pushing it in.
If you don't like Tetris, okay, you're not going to play Tetris Effect and go, "Oh God, I suddenly like Tetris." Okay, it's Tetris. At the end of the day, this is Tetris, okay? However, it feels like an idea that someone came up with years ago and then it got shelved. And then someone said, no, but what if we... Nah, don't worry. It's basically Tetris by way of Lumines. Now, if you don't know what Lumines is, I don't know that I want to sit here and explain it to you because it's... But it's also kind of like musically or perhaps even visually, it's a bit Rez-like. And if you know my taste in games, what I'm describing here is kind of a perfect game. Like the exactitude, the meticulous nature of Tetris with Lumines's music, rhythm action, with Rez's visuals, I'm describing like a mesmeric experience, a trance-like state of it's an amazing game. And then when you strap the VR in and you put the headphones in, it's kind of emotional in a really peculiar way. Like I haven't yet found a way to articulate how it makes me feel. I think I said it on the review video. The closest thing to it is that I remember when I played Google Earth in VR for the first time, where you can physically transport yourself to anywhere in the world, like, you know, your childhood home, your friend's house, your place of work. And it's like quite an emotional state to be able to do that. Just, it's, you know what I mean? It's quite a strange feeling. And although Tetris Effect isn't that kind of thing, there's moments where the music is so in time, the beats are in time with what you're doing, it reacts to how you move the pieces around, and you'll look away just for a brief second, because obviously it's Tetris, it gets quicker and quicker, you'll look away briefly from the Tetris pieces dropping down, and you'll look around you and you'll realise this whole kind of aesthetic has built up and all this stuff is happening, whether it's dolphins swimming by or these weird trance-like people sort of worshipping the Tetris sort of board. And it's just like, it puts a lump in your throat. It's drugs Tetris, I suppose, but it's incredible. Like, it's flawless. It's just... And I've seen people go, oh, yeah, but it's not $40 good. It fucking is. It's Tetris. Like, think about Game Boy. Like, Tetris was all you had, and you played it nonstop, and everyone played it. You know, your wives, your mums, your dads, your older brother who didn't get gaming. Everyone had a go on Tetris and got it, didn't they?
It's kind of the way it is, though, isn't it, these days? It's like, unless it's like a Red Dead or something like that, people are like, oh, I'm not sure about that price. You know what I mean? It's a weird state that we've kind of got into. You know, like Tetris, like you say, Tetris was kind of the game, and in many ways it still is, and
it is, so but this isn't them going, let's put Tetris on PS4. Like I say, you've only got to go and look, you know, youtube.com/godisageek, it will be one of the more recent review videos. You've only got to look at the visuals, and I deliberately like captured I suppose, if you like, two levels, because I didn't want to put all the different kinds of levels in there and show everything it's got, because seeing them and this amazing soundtrack in duality together, it's just brilliant. Like, you know, I didn't want to ruin that for anyone. And it's a kind of aesthetically boring video because of that, but I didn't want to spoil it.
I've seen like, just going back to the music side of it, and...
Yeah.
I was actually completely blown away by the way the music works in it. And the video that I saw, it was based... Now, I don't know if this is like the way the music is across the board, but this was just the one particular video. It had like, almost like, if anyone has ever heard jazz music, and when jazz gets really sporadic and it just gets a bit crazy, like it sounds like...
So what you're hearing there, right, is that... is the game's music, or rather the ambient soundtrack reacting to, say, when you turn a piece and then when you slam a piece down. Like that kind of sort of thing. Mm. That is it reacting to you turning the pieces.
But the thing is, it's not like bleep, bleep, bleep. It's like almost like keys.
No.
It's like a fine grand piano is playing this.
Yep.
And to me...
That's exactly it.
Even we all know that Tetris, the general concept of Tetris is... astounding. Like, any person that plays a video game and says Tetris is shit, I just don't really understand. But like,
just get out of it.
Yeah, it makes no sense. But the thing is, I look at it and I go, whoa, that looks crazy, the colors are amazing. But the fact that they designed the music that way is the patience must be insane. Like, the time they took to do that must be mental. One thing I will say, Adam Cook, and I'm sure you are expecting this, but when I saw the hype for this game, I was like, okay, do you know what? I am up for a Tetris game. I'm up for a brand new Tetris game. I wish it was on the Switch. I'm just going to say it. I know there's a chance for it. I know you can sire it, and I know it's part of...
I would say, given that Enhanced Games put Lumines out on Switch, I'd say that. See, it's interesting because I would have, before the weekend just gone, I would actually have said, you know, you'll probably get this on Switch and Xbox and PC. However, I think somewhere Sony have helped out because given that this is a third-party game that's only on Switch, only on PS4, I've seen an awful lot of Sony tweets promoting the game, promoting videos that people have put up of the game, which leads me to believe they actually perhaps not funded it but had a hand in it. Whereas, you know, I'm just trying to think of a third party. I mean, they do it occasionally, but I feel like they've gone heavily with this, so I don't know.
But that's fantastic, and I think, like, I love that, like, Sony are pushing that kind of title. But my reason being is it's not because, oh, I just want it, like, for on-the-go purposes all the time. As of just right now, I'm still playing Red Dead. I still need to play Assassin's Creed. When I boot up the PlayStation, that is what I'm going to do. I'm going to continue my Red Dead.
But you see, you're thinking of it in the wrong way. This is the perfect game when you've had like an hour and a half of Red Dead to then wind down with half an hour of Tetris. Because I get what you're saying about the Switch. I think the big screen helps.
Yeah,
in this
the colours
because
are
there's
amazing.
A lot going on around it. The colours are going on, but also again, when you strap that VR in, it's about everything around you.
Yeah,
and I think it's absolutely great. It's still great in 2D, if you will. It just takes it to that new level. Like it's weird to say that this is what VR was built for because there are some like Super Hypercube is a great game in VR. There are lots of really good games now in VR that's super hot, but Tetris was, I said, aside from Google Earth in Oculus Rift or Vive or whatever it was I played it on, this actually is the first game to make me really, I said, the lump in my throat, like, oh, bloody hell, this is wow. Because as you say, with the sound changing the way it does, like it's one of the few games that, because of how much you're concentrating on it, when a lot of VR games, there's so say you're stood up playing a VR game and it's like a fully 3D immersive world because it's VR. You've got two controllers in your hands that are your hands, the headset on, and at some point then you'll clip the cable with your foot, you know, or you'll sort of shake your back because you can feel the cable hanging a bit funny on you, and it just reminds you that you're in a room that's probably got other people watching you playing. This is one of the few games where it's like I completely forgot. Like I actually I took it off when I finished playing. And my wife was sat next to me because she was watching TV, and because I was using obviously the VR headset, and I took it off and I kind of like, oh shit, I kind of forgot anyone else was here. It's that kind of just properly losing yourself to the machine kind of thing.
So, but basically going into Game of the Year, right? Say we discuss Tetris, which will happen. Do you think a lot of the like? The love for this game is because of the VR thing? Because, like, I don't have a VR headset.
No, it's the music.
It's the music.
It's the music. It's the music. Cool. It's such a hard one to describe, man. Such a hard one to describe because it's a bit like describing what makes it. So when you're playing Rock Band, what makes it so good when you get 5 stars? What makes it so good when you get like a solo and you do 100%? Like it's about that nailing the synergy of you being in 100% time with the music. Do you know what I mean? It's quite difficult to put into words why that feels so good, but it does, right?
Yeah, yeah.
That kind of thing.
I'm super. I'm up for this. I'm really up for it.
Not to move away from it, but I mean, I'm aware that we just talked for 10 minutes about Tetris. And that's another weird thing. It's Tetris.
It's Tetris, yeah.
I've always loved Tetris, but this feels like almost the natural conclusion. Like, I don't see what more. This is like closing the book on Tetris for me. It's like, what more could you do? I suppose you could add more levels. You could add DLC, new songs, whatever. But you know, let's talk about Spyro Reignited Trilogy. Because I've played about 5 or 6 hours of that, and I feel like we should address it because I feel like people are hyped through the roof for this one. Is it just, you know,
I think we said it before, but I remember playing. I played all the Spyro games. I simply can't remember a single bit of it.
So you'll be pleased to remember that I'm in exactly the same boat.
Great.
And after playing like 2 to 3 hours of each of them, I still don't remember any of them. Like, I'm playing through them, and by the time this goes up, there'll be a review video and a review from Chris White. And I said this to him in the video, and not to repeat myself, but like, he talked about there are moments in the games where he's like, oh yeah, I remember this, I remember that. I had none of that.
Yeah.
And, which isn't to say I didn't enjoy it, but just to say, like, I was like, I don't remember any of this. Like, this, I know I've played them. I remember the box art. I know I've played those games. But yeah, none of it is like, I remember this. Whereas in Crash Bandicoot, I remember all of it, you know?
So to make, to put like down a comparison here, right? When we all got Crash, when the new trilogy came out, the Insane trilogy, we all remember moments of Crash. I think Crash more than Spyro. That's a given.
Oh, I think so.
However, I forgot how difficult the first Crash was. How is it with Spyro in terms of difficulty? Are you getting a very difficult platformer, or what is this?
No, you're not. It's kind of the opposite.
Okay.
It's the opposite. It's actually quite... Well, again, I haven't finished them, but it's actually quite a bit easier because... Again, sorry for rehashing it, those of you who's watched it, but you know, Chris mentioned the camera being a bit of an issue, and it is, but I found, because the game's quite easy, that I didn't find that the camera was a problem, because I'd be running around and shooting fire, but every enemy's kind of a one-hit kill anyway, so it's, or most of them are, so it's kind of like, it didn't really bother me. I was surprised by how similar the games are, 1, 2 and 3, and I was also quite surprised by how much bigger each of them got. Like, the first game I played, I think, 2 to 3 hours of, maybe a bit more, and it was like, you're 20% complete or whatever. I played the same amount of level of 2 and 3, but 3, it was like, you are 3% complete. It's like, wow, these games got bigger. You know what I mean? Yeah. There's more of these.
More
games. Yeah, but then there's skateboarding. And, yeah, more of everything, I guess. It looks beautiful. They all look absolutely gorgeous. The voice acting's great.
It's done by the guys who did the Skylanders games, isn't it?
Toys for Bob. They did the Crash Bandicoot ones as well.
That makes sense. I mean, that was kind of born from Spyro anyway, wasn't it? But they look great. You know, the art style and stuff is brilliant. So I mean, it makes sense that this looks good.
To be fair, as someone who's enjoyed all of the Skylanders games, like, Toys for Bob are a very underrated developer. Like, they really are.
Yeah,
like, they've made the Toys to Life thing. They made probably the best one. Well, LEGO Dimensions was excellent, if ill-fated. But they, you know, whether you like Crash Bandicoot or not, they were incredibly faithful and made a beautiful version of it. And they've done the same with Spyro. There's some, you know, having a look at some old footage of games, there's some things I think people might not like. Like, I feel like there's a few little concessions. Like, I'm pretty sure there's some animations gone from like mid-level loads and stuff, but I don't think many people are going to be overly fussed. I think some people will get their knickers in a twist, but generally speaking, it's a big game, by the way. It's over 60 gig for all three of them.
Wow.
Which is like,
Jesus,
a bit of a surprise.
I thought you were going to say, I don't know, 12 or something, do you know? Like, that's...
No, man, no, 60 plus.
Whoa.
On PS4. Yeah, quite surprised by that. It's bigger than, and this will transition us nicely, it's bigger than Battlefield 5 is on Xbox One X, which again, I'm rushing through these, but yeah.
That's a
again,
surprise. That's a big
absolutely
surprise.
Is. I think that was like 30, 33 or something, not big at all. I talked to Stubbsy, who reviewed it for us as a freelancer, and about Battlefield 5, and he mentioned that it felt a bit, like the time to kill felt lower. And that put it in my head of like, oh, so is it more like Call of Duty? And I think it is. I've not played very much, and I'll explain why. I'm going to feel bad saying this. Black Ops 4 this year. Do you remember how everyone was like, oh, no single player? Oh, my God, what?
Yeah.
I kind of feel like Black Ops 4 has shown why these games don't need a single player. So dropping into a shooter campaign that feels kind of like a tutorial, like they all do, I don't know. It's beautiful looking, for sure. It's damn nice looking. And it does, the guns feel very, it feels faster. Everything about Battlefield 5 feels faster than previous Battlefield games, which is welcome if you play a lot of Call of Duty. I just, you know, I mean, I haven't played enough to make a full judgment. I think Battlefield's in an interesting spot because I don't know what they're... I feel like launching without Battle Royale is not a good one, you know?
Yeah, when they said, like, that wasn't going to be a launch thing, I was like, that kind of started a few alarm bells ringing because I was just thinking that is kind of... That's the part that's going to separate it. Or, you know, it's going to make it a bit more relevant. And
yeah.
I've not played the new one, so I don't know, but it just kind of feels like maybe it's going to be missing one of its biggest selling points.
Have you not got EA Access, Gaz?
No.
Oh, okay, I thought you did. I said you can probably grab it I think it's on there. So I don't want to spend too long talking about Battlefield because I haven't played enough, and I think Chris, probably if he's here next week, which I think he will be, I think he's played more, and I think, you know, and we'll have a review up by the time you listen to this, so it's probably better that you go to read that by Stubbsy, because, you know, he's played all of it, if you know what I mean.
I just want to quickly say that I think, like, it's definitely in an interesting spot, because I personally, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think the hype for this Battlefield has been very strange. It's, I'm not really hearing the excitement from people, right? And I really think when the new Call of Duty came out and everyone was all about Blackout, I think they got a bit of a kick in the balls, because I don't think they expected that to happen. And
I think everyone was like, they were kind of thinking, oh, I'm going to go for Battlefield this year. Then obviously Black Ops came out a bit earlier. They're like, okay, we'll give it a try. And I think myself included, like, was just like, you know what, this is very, very, very good.
But the thing is, I think what people, well, I don't think they're intentionally not putting like their battle royale in, because obviously if they could have it ready, they would.
Yeah.
Problem is, I think people aren't quite accepting how popular. I think a lot of people are like, oh, PUBG has been not forgotten, but certainly has started to, it's on the wane compared to where it was when it was the biggest thing because of Fortnite. And I think there's too many people writing Fortnite off as, oh yeah, all the kids play it, and forgetting that it's actually genuinely popular. And the reason it's popular is because that game mode, like PUBG and now Blackout, is new.
Yes.
You think about shooters. We have been playing Deathmatch since, I mean, give me a game. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. Give me a game.
Original
Quake.
Year.
Like, yeah, I mean, on console, you know, split screen, four player, GoldenEye, that kind of thing. Yeah. That's been around for a long time. Battlefield's large modes have now been around for a long time. Battle Royale is a new concept relatively to gaming, isn't it?
Yes.
And I feel like if you're a shooter and you haven't got that, people will ask why.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm going to play more Battlefield 5. I am. However, I haven't put it on the docket. I'll tell you the reason why I haven't played more of it. It's because I started playing a game that I have been wanting to play for some time. And I don't know about you, Gaz, but I'm telling Adam Carroll this right now. Adam Carroll, you need to play The Messenger.
Oh, yeah? It's on my list. Like, how...
Oh.
Okay, so look, hang on a second. Before you go on here, right, this is one of the games that are on my list to get to before Game of the Year. Like,
okay, so what other games are on that list? Tell me what other games are on that list, and I'll tell you how high up this needs to be.
So, like, I have Assassin's Creed Odyssey...
Okay.
I know I'm going to add in Tetris.
Mm-hmm.
I have The Messenger. That's all. Like, probably Battlefield, maybe. You know, depending. But and definitely Just Cause. Just Cause is definite.
Yeah, I mean, that's not out, obviously. Do you know what? Actually, I'm being unfair to you, Gaz, knowing that you like games like Iconoclasts, which has got that sort of retro aesthetic and good writing. I actually think this needs to be on this. This game's genuinely funny. The writing is razor sharp. The action is very, very rewarding in that it's incredibly responsive. And the soundtrack. Oh, the soundtrack. It does this thing. It's a headphones game, man, by the way. It's so good, okay. The soundtrack. There's this thing of, like, it's playing this 8-bit soundtrack, right? And then you go underwater and it goes bang. Instantly sort of muffles the music. Like, instantly. Like, I can't... I'm trying to think of another game that does it. Some games do this.
Mario Odyssey does that, I think.
Might be, yeah. Like, so the second you go underwater, the music's still playing, but it's now underwater.
Yeah.
And then you come out, and you literally go up, down, and it does that. And it's just like, oh, wow, this game's good. The only reason I'm not saying, like, oh, Game of the Year, is because I've just got to the point where... And I'm not going to spoil it, but there's a thing that happens, which probably people have read about by now, but I'm not going to spoil it.
Oh,
and,
I remember.
Like, I've got to that point... And while it looks great, it definitely has changed the game from one thing to another. And at this point, I'm not sure if I actually like that.
I gotta be honest, man. I think that, like, that being out there from, like, critics, I think it's a really weird thing to, like, say.
Yeah. But how do you review that game without saying, by the way, this game's two games in one? It's like, it would be like reviewing Brutal Legend and not mentioning it's an RTS.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? But I'm not going to go on about The Messenger because, like, I need to play that more. Yeah, I know. I've been listening to Tenacious D. Jack Black's been on my mind. Before we get into news, because there's more games to come, but there's a lot of news. I want to hear about a game that I've nearly bought three times because I feel like we should cover this game somehow on the website, whether it's a video, whatever. I have seen a lot of videos of this. I'll be honest, I saw a video today, because it's only £10 via PlayStation Plus, The Quiet Man I'm talking about, and I saw a video where it's like, you know what? I've gone from wanting to play this because I'm thinking, how bad can this be? Maybe it's so bad it's funny, to looking at this video and going, I do not want to play this game. It looks awful, and not funny bad, it looks straight up one of the worst games in years. Adam Carroll, though, for some reason, you paid money for it.
I did.
But do you not feel that there's a part of you that has, like, this is where I was until I saw this, I was like, I kind of have to know for me. It's not good enough that everyone's saying this. I need to know this. Do you know what I mean?
I'm genuinely going to be, look, I'm going to be straight up and say that I am somebody that, if you tell me this is the worst thing ever that you'll watch or play or hear, I'm getting it. I'm straight up getting it, because I need to experience these things. They're so fun. Yeah, I got this game, The Quiet Man. So, like, for people who don't know, it's developed by, like, a studio called Human Head Studios, who actually did 2006's Prey, right? I didn't actually know that going
on. Wow. Are you sure?
Yeah. Yeah, they did.
I'm going to Google that, because that doesn't sound possible.
They did 2006 Prey, and they did the Wii U port of Batman Arkham Origins. Like,
Wow, yeah.
So they haven't...
Yeah, they were the ones doing... They were making Prey 2 at one point.
Yeah. Yeah, they were, and I think that's got cancelled or something. But
yeah, that's right.
So, yeah, they made this. So that was kind of my thing. I was like, how bad can it... Like, it's like, we saw the trailer, and me and Gaz were discussing this just before we were recording, that, like, when they announced it, all of a sudden it was just, here it is. It came out so quickly. And I, honestly, after playing the game, I think the reason they did that is because if they said, oh, here's a new game called The Quiet Man, this is the story, this is what's going to happen in it, and it's coming out in February. From the moment they announced it, like any other game, we're going to be sitting there going, oh, when are we going to see the next piece of gameplay or whatever, right? I think they threw it out because they knew that the game was a fucking travesty. And it straight up is. Like, this game is like, it's set in New York City, you play like some deaf protagonist, and like, if I'm going to be honest,
is he definitely deaf? Because I'm confused. I've seen videos where, like, there's Adam subtitles Cook at the start of it, but then later game, on he talks to someone and we still don't get subtitles. Like, what?
This game should have been called The Confused Man, because honestly, okay. Every single moment of this game, it doesn't really make sense. I don't know what's going on. Like, he's chasing after some person called the Birdman, who has kidnapped some sort of like musician, like a pianist or something. So I'm like, okay. Now, if anyone has seen the game, it goes from like actual like proper cutscenes, like
FMV.
Yeah. It then just kind of goes
real, into... acted by humans, like real you and I acting.
Yeah, so like a Quantum Break kind FMV. Of thing. And then you get your gameplay pieces. For a lot of people, like, I'm going to be straight up and say I hate that. I honestly don't like it. I don't like when it gets that, when it's real. I hate it. I hate every game that ever puts that into it. This is the reason I got it, though, is because it's cheap. A lot of shit has been said about it, and you can finish it in one sitting. But honestly, you can finish it in one sitting if you have the patience, because the gameplay is absolutely abysmal. It is so clunky. It is just so badly made. And don't get me wrong, I'm a person who likes to kind of always find some sort of good in games. I hate being that negative Nelly, which, by the way, we'll get to in a while over something. But this game is straight up bad. There's nobody in the world that can sit down and go, The Quiet Man had its charm. It had its little thing here and there. Like, Deadly Premonition is a game that's terrible to control. It looks pretty terrible, but you can't deny it has a charm. It has some sort of like cult kind of thing going on. The Quiet Man is just dog shit. Just the fighting is... You like, there's moments
is
where...
Is that not an insult to dog shit?
I actually think I'd rather play with dog shit. Like, honestly, I'd rather hold dog shit in the palm of my hand and just roll it around. Sorry, but that is true. This game, like, Okay, so when you walk in a certain area and you're like, cool, here we go, big fight scene. These lads come out and like they're all wearing practically the same clothes. They're all in like green outfits and they come under this like door and you're like, all right, let's fight. The situation here is you can't really fight them at once in a kind of a combo manner. You're kind of taking them on one by one while the other like three or four are just watching you fight this guy. And the connecting of the gameplay, like, you, it just goes on for so fucking long. And then when you finally finish, like, beating these four guys, the exact same four fucking fellas appear again. And they're like, what is happening? And not only does that happen, that could happen about four or five times in a row. Like, it is just so unbelievably repetitive. The look of the game, right? This is the thing about it. The look of the game is actually not the worst. And that's the only credit I give the game. But like, look, straight up, in a time of where there's so many games right now and we're coming to the year is almost over, this is the worst game I've played this year. There's no denying it.
Wow.
It is.
I mean...
And it's going to be the worst game for a lot of people. And I hate saying that because there is people who put time into these things. I get it.
Yep. Yeah.
But, do you know, like, Square Enix put this out. Oh, for fuck's sake, are you serious? Like, that shouldn't be... That's not good. Like, you don't put your name on these kind of things for a reason. And, like... Yeah, I don't know what else I can say. It's just a bad game. Like, nobody can like this game. I'm sorry, I hate sounding that negative, but the story makes no sense. The gameplay is clunky. I don't care what any character. It doesn't make any real sense, and it finishes very quickly. And that's that.
That's fine. Let's move on to some news then, and hopefully some cheerier stuff, because over the weekend Microsoft held their, well, it was once annual for a little bit, but their XO, it's called, their kind of fan festival, XO 18. And I want to just quickly mention that actually, that I think this might be the one that broke me in terms of Twitter, like the negativity around something that kind of. I feel like certain people within the community feel like everything has to be for them.
Yeah.
And it's everything That's can be for everyone, but sometimes things aren't aimed at you. And like, so perhaps a games media professional, this isn't aimed at them. So I saw a lot of people having a go at the fans, cheering and stuff, and like however staged it was and everything. But it's like, do you know what? Fucking let them. Like, if they're having a good time, do you know what? That's great. Good on them. Because... Well, there's enough just, negativity and shit around games. Let's let them have their fun.
Did anyone do like give this sort of shit to people at, like BlizzCon when they cheer like Overwatch videos and stuff?
I quite the opposite. I saw videos and articles kind of being apologetic, not letting people off for their reactions to the Diablo stuff, but saying, but we kind of get why they've done it. Like, I don't know about that, because if it's good for the goose, it's good for the gander. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, come on now. Like, I just feel like it. Turn it off. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, if
you don't like something, carry on watching it. You know, you just go, fuck, all right, that's not, I'm not interested. Bye.
I don't know, man. I just found it to be like, I don't remember seeing this kind of negativity around a PlayStation experience.
No.
Which is essentially the same thing done in a more kind of sort of buttoned up suit style way, I guess. And like, I don't know, I'm no fan of any of these companies. Like, I play their products and I use their consoles. I wouldn't call myself a fan of them, because they're there to make money off me. And if a game plays well, I don't really care what system it's on. It's I don't know. I mean, I guess I'm the opposite of a fanboy. I like video games, and I like when video games are good. And if that happens to be an Xbox game, or like Forza Horizon 4, or a Sony game like God of War or Spider-Man, then like I'm happy. And I just don't. I felt like if at the end of that XO stream, the 2-hour stream, they had said, and by the way, from now on, we've programmed your Xbox to give you a hand job every time you turn it on. I still feel like people would have been snarky about it. And I don't know. I just think there's a narrative at the moment forming, and I don't like it, because games are games wherever they're on, and a game can be for anyone or it can not be for you, but that doesn't make it any less valid. Like, there are games I've played where I'm like, not for me, still glad it exists. Do you know what I mean? And I don't know. Let's just go on, Ad.
I just quickly want to jump in and say, all of that is so true. Honestly, it's awful to see. We all know that, like, yep, the way people are just see, are about, like, people's happiness in some case. But, like, the thing for me was, like, I watched it and it got to, like, Crackdown, for example. Okay, it got to Crackdown 3, and, like, they came out, they were speaking about it, and they were mentioning stuff, right? Now, for me personally, I'm not up for Crackdown. I'm not a fan of Crackdown. But there were certain things that they were saying on stage, and the fans in the audience were actually cheering. They were literally listening to what was being said. They were getting excited. And I was kind of sitting there going, fuck it, cool. Like, they're well up for it. Because I was in my head going, who's actually up for Crackdown? Do you know? And there was these
moments.
If
you're watching that and you're cringing, going, oh, God. Just turn off. God.
Yeah, that's it. Like, there was, like, even everyone that was coming out, like, they were cheering their names. Like, what a way to make you feel great and stuff. And I just think that community is really cool. There didn't seem to be any bad blood going on. Like,
well, did you see the tweet? I did retweet. I didn't want to get into this on Twitter, but I did retweet this one. I thought it was an interesting thing. I thought someone basically, I'm slightly paraphrasing. In fact, hang on, I might be able to find it. If carry on, Adam. I'm going to try and find it because it's worth getting this tweet correct, I think, rather than me butchering it.
I don't know. Like, is it just? I just personally feel it's like the media thing is just to be negative. Like,
yeah. It's cynicism sells. Yeah. Oh, here we go. I found it. It's Robbie Cook. Actually, Cook with an E, the wrong way. He's actually the head of marketing and PR at Rebellion. But I saw his tweet and I thought, that's great. And he said, it could also be that these people are just excited that a major gaming event is in their country.
Absolutely.
And not LA or San Francisco for once. Let people enjoy things. And I think that sums it up perfectly. And that we should probably now talk about some of the news, don't you think?
Yeah.
All right. So, Void Bastards. Great name. It's a strategy shooter from Irrational Games co-founder Jonathan Che, coming to Xbox One and PC. Great art style. Reminded me a bit of Borderlands, if it were more comic booky.
Yeah, it reminded me of 13.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say.
Yeah. But yeah, we don't know much about it other than it. Like I say, it's a shooter that's inspired by Bioshock and System Shock 2. It's a strategy shooter. You know, new game announcement. Nicely done. Kingdom Hearts 3 has got Winnie the Pooh in it.
Brilliant.
And yet again, another Kingdom Hearts trailer where I wish I liked Kingdom Hearts.
Are you not sold on this one, man?
No,
I've never got on with the series.
I'm on the same page.
I'm just the exact same. I tried the first Kingdom Hearts. I said this before on the podcast. The opening segment on the beach, not for me. Bores me. Don't really get on with it, right?
Oh, gosh,
but I think 3 looks really good. And so much so that I hope that when it comes out, it's probably not going to be the case, but I'd like it to be a game that newcomers can just jump in on. Because it looks really nice.
I'll tell you another game that looks really nice, Devil May Cry 5. They showed the training mode and they did a little sort of section where they showed the development. And you know what?
It looks cautious. Smooth.
I feel like this game's going to be excellent, but still not quite as good as DMC.
Yeah.
I think people are just going to consistently have that be in their bonnet, the fact that...
But I think Capcom are going to have a real good year next year, like, with the start of it. Anyway, with Resi and that, like, I'm interested, you know what I mean?
Yeah. We don't even know what else they've got coming either.
There must be something else Resi. Well, that is a big release, Resi 2. I mean, well, let's not talk about Resi, because, I think DMC 5 looks great. I don't think I'll ever be able to personally shake that thing of, I want my sequel to DMC 2, which this maybe even looks like it might be kinda in its own way.
Sea of Thieves, though.
Sea of Thieves, the arena, is a competitive game mode coming in 2019. You guys seem to have been enjoying that recently, Sea of Thieves, Gary.
Yeah.
You and the site.
I'm really enjoying it again.
Every time you play it, I'm jealous that I haven't got the time to, because it just... every time I see it, I'm like, God, yeah, this game looks gorgeous, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I will say I don't think I'm that keen on the volcano stuff after playing that. Just because it's a bit too hectic. If they just tone it down ever so slightly, I think it might be a little bit more fun. But yeah, I mean, this seems like because they only showed like as kind of a teaser thing, didn't they? And yeah. I'm like, is it a separate like instance kind of thing, or is this still all going to be set in the main world? Because I mean, surely it has to be cordoned off somehow. Maybe
it's probably like Destiny 2, where you like there's a crucible.
Yeah, but I mean,
maybe somewhere you go that is separate.
Yeah, I like the idea of it though. I think it could be a lot, because when you have a good like battle at sea with another crew or whatever, then you usually have some fun with it. So
well,
a whole game mode kind of dedicated to that seems, because it removes that feeling of, are they going to attack me? You know what I mean? You're just like, you know what, fuck it, just dive in, have fun, have a fight, you know? Yeah. It's like, there you go, you know, it removes that barrier and you just jump straight in.
Well, I forgot actually to mention this, so I just quickly slipped this in. When they were talking about Kingdom Hearts, they talked about Final Fantasy, and they said Final Fantasy 13.2 and 13.3 are coming to backwards compatibility, but the next year Square are also going to bring, and they actually said something like the biggest Final Fantasies, and then they went 7, 9, 10, 10.2, and it's like, sorry, did you, and I thought actually it was a translation error and she hadn't heard him say 8. He didn't say 8. He skipped over 8. Why and 8's really good.
But why isn't 8 coming out? What's, is there,
I don't know.
Is there a thing I've missed?
I never got on with 8. I do think out of those ones, I think it is the worst.
Out of what?
Yeah, out of 7, 9 and 10, okay. Okay, but in its own right, it's still...
I don't know, Squall's still just a prick. He's just such an unlikable character. I couldn't get on with him. I was kind of like, just please die.
Whereas Tidus is just...
I'd easily take Tidus over Squall. Squall was such a moody prick.
Oh, Jesus, no, Tidus is a pain. Tidus is...
He's still better
than Squall. All Final Fantasy characters are bad, let's just say it.
Tidus laughs. All Final Fantasy characters. When he laughs, it is the worst.
It is. Forza Horizon 4 is not the worst, and Fortune Island, that is the first proper expansion, December 13th, Gaz.
Yeah.
Looks pretty good.
100% in. I mean, I was always going to be, really, but...
Yeah.
I was surprised that it was so soon. So, yeah. I mean, I knew they were doing like two expansions they've got at least planned.
But I hope they do a mad one like the
Hot Wheels.
Yeah.
Just,
I don't know how it would fit actually, but then it did it last time. They managed.
That's
it.
So. I mean, I never have guessed that was going to be the other expansion with the last one. And again, I could never have guessed how good it actually would have been. So
we
give me that.
We also
again.
Got like yeah oh absolutely. We also got like a load of news about Game Pass. Like the first month is now going to be $1 if it's your first month, which is a great deal. PUBG is entering Game Pass. There were other games like The Good Life from Swery. Lots of games coming to Game Pass. That was one of the things I saw the most snark over, and I just don't get it. But
Game Pass is brilliant.
Yeah, we've had that conversation. Yeah. It's just, before we get to the biggest news, I guess, Just Cause 4. Now, I knew this was happening because we got the trailer ahead of time under embargo.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's just kind of the only noise I can make for that.
I watched it just before we started recording this because I was like, you know, I've not had a chance to watch it yet because I was out. Oh. I didn't see the thing live. I was like, I need to watch it because everyone said how good it is. And I'm just like, yes, please. I didn't care about Just Cause 4.
So the thing is, Just Cause 3 was a really good game. It was let down across all formats, not just PC, which is where I reviewed it on, but on PS4 and Xbox One. It was let down by technical issues in that, like, it took forever to load the console version. The frame rate was dog. The thing is, now we've got the Xbox One X, the PS4 Pro. I'm kind of hopeful that they can deliver on what Just Cause 3 was, obviously taken to the point where there's a fucking tornado scorching through the island that you can just get involved with, but it will run beautifully. And like that, to me, I kind of wish this game was out this month.
I'll be honest, I never had any real issues that I can remember of with Just Cause 3. I genuinely can't think of a technical issue that I went, maybe loading screens were long. I think that's what I suffered.
Oh mate, long is not doing it justice. On PC it was over, like it was minutes.
I just want to quickly say though that like I've been so excited for 4 since it's been announced, and I honestly think that this series has just been improving each entry.
Oh, it has.
And 4, like, it's 4 is going to be so much fun. Like,
I hope so.
The stuff that you are able to do in it looks incredible.
That trailer, though, again, I had the same thing when they first showed it at E3. I was like, just give these guys a Fast and Furious license. Because this, like, that trailer was essentially, it was essentially like a Fast and Furious trailer, just kind of dialed up to, like, not 11, it was past 11, way past 11.
Yeah.
So it's like, yeah, give them that, because that'd be brilliant. And, I mean, to be fair, that's kind of what this game looks like, and I'd be into that.
It is. Wasn't my favourite announcement, though. My favourite announcement, the penultimate piece of news we've got this week, is the Xbox Winter of Arcade. When he said those magical words, hey, do you remember that thing, Summer of Arcade? My heart skipped a beat because that was like the golden generation of, at the time, downloadable games. Yep. Winter of Arcade has been announced. They wouldn't tell you what games are coming. I think Below will be one of them.
I'm refusing to believe it until it actually happens.
I did think it was slightly strange that they announced Winter of Arcade, and then when the guy said, what games are they? He said, find out at the Game Awards. It's like, no, but this is your show. Like, this is the Xbox show. Like, why are we waiting to the Game Award? But, I mean, it is what it is. That was a lovely announcement because I feel like Microsoft are trying to tap back into all the things that we liked them for last time. Yes. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, but
The Summer of Arcade and kind of like the 360, that was what started the indie boom. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I mean, PlayStation copied them. What was it called? It was called... Oh, God, what was it called? They did something similar.
Yeah, I can't remember. I know what you're talking about. I can't remember the name.
But if I can just indulge just briefly, right? In 2008, these were the games, okay, for Summer of Arcade. Bionic Commando Rearmed, Braid, Castle Crashers, Galaga Legions, Geometry Wars 2. Oof. 2009, Marvel vs. Capcom 2, New Age of Heroes, Shadow Complex, superb game.
Yeah.
Splosion Man, amazing game. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Turtles in Time Reshelled. I mean, it's that game. Trials HD. Wow.
Yeah.
2010. I wonder where the one is I remember the best. I think there might be a year missing here, actually. But 2010, Castlevania Harmony of Despair, Hydro Thunder Hurricane, Lara Croft and the Guardian of Light, Limbo, Monday Night Combat. 2011, Bastion. Shit. This is good. This is a good one. So Bastion, From Dust, Fruit Ninja Connect, Insanely Twisted Shadow Planet, Toy Soldiers Cold War. 2012 brought us Deadlight, Dust and Legion Tale, Hybrid, Tony Hawk's Pro Skater HD and Wrecketeer. And 2013, I think was the last one, was Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Out of the Shadows, Flashback, Brothers, A Tale of Two Sons and Charlie Murder. There's some...
I'd forgotten that Dust was one of them. Because I adored that game. And I'd forgotten that it was in an arcade, or a Summer of Arcade game.
Yep.
Trials, I mean, for God's
sake.
Trials would be nowhere near where it is now.
No way. Yep.
It's crazy. I'm so happy that it's back.
Same. But let's close out our news section with the thing that Microsoft closed out on, that they have... They teased it and then they announced it. Obviously, they've got 343, they've got Minecraft, they've got The Initiative, Undead Labs, Playground Games, Ninja Theory, Compulsion Games. Obviously, they've got Rare, Turn 10. But now, and the Coalition and 343, they are all the studios they've got now. They've also got In Exile and Obsidian.
Yeah.
So they're going to be making some RPGs for Microsoft, aren't they?
Yeah.
Yep.
I think the next... The next couple of years for Xbox are going to be huge. Mm-hmm. I think with all these teams, when they get to like that point of releasing games that they're making specifically for Microsoft, I think it's just going to be insane.
Just a quick reminder that Obsidian made Star Wars: Knights of the Old Republic 2. They also made the best South Park game, The Stick of Truth, Pillars of Eternity, and I think arguably the best Fallout game, New Vegas.
Yep, New Vegas. You know,
and In Exile's got
best Fallout game.
Yep.
Would you not say New Vegas?
No.
As long as you didn't play it on PS3, which probably won't be a problem now. They're amongst. Oh, well, there you go then. Yeah.
I would say it is the best.
But like, it actually was only when they were talking about In Exile. Obviously, Brian Fargo, everyone knows about. But like, I knew obviously Wasteland, we've covered Torment Tides and Numenera. But then when they said like Bard's Tale 4, I was like, that's the game Gary just reviewed, isn't it?
Yeah.
And he seemed to really like it. This is, you know, they were so specific about those two studios staying separate. But, you know, what can you say? Microsoft are making a play to make, you know, make their future secure, I guess. Just put it this way, you don't buy all those studios if you're getting out of gaming. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's a very interesting time.
So, I mean, before we leave it, does anyone want to say... I mean, I thought the show was actually... maybe I was in a really good mood. I don't know. But I just was watching it. I was like, you know, it is so lovely in a world right now where it's just doom and gloom. It's so lovely to see people happy. And whether it's real or not, I don't know. But everyone just seemed really happy to be doing what they were doing, to be where they were. Like, they gave an Xbox One X to someone, which that was the only bit that felt a bit staged
that
to me.
That kid was so funny. He was just like... I love the way he kind of just traipsed off to the side like himself. He just decided to just leave.
I think someone off camera must have been with him. I tell you, I loved the Square Enix producers taking selfies, because it made me laugh, because he's like, oh, he wants to take selfies. And he then just proceeded to take photos of the crowd. And I'm like, he doesn't know what a selfie is, does he? And then he started taking selfies. I was like, okay, I'll find out. Like, then there was the whole Larry Hibb doing the, like, everything's cheap advert. And I'm like, wow, this is something. I don't know. I can get behind a company just going, we're going to just have a laugh and have some fun. And I think that's fine. Shall we do some listener questions?
Yep.
I can answer this one straight away, but I'm not going to. Oh, okay. David Ayers wants to know, what game has the best fishing?
Like, I'm just going to go ahead and say it and point out the obvious. I would like to think it's something like Sega Bass Fishing.
I'm going to say Red Dead Redemption 2.
Really?
I really enjoy the fishing in that game.
I just did it once and I was like, all right.
Ah, oh, no, I really enjoy it. I think it feels great.
Yeah, but that's...
Gaz?
I spent an awful lot of time on Ocarina of Time's fishing. I really enjoyed that. But I don't think I've ever really played like the fishing side of many games.
Yeah, like Final Fantasy 15 brought us in.
I still feel like we should be saying Sea of Thieves, but there's still no fishing.
I mean, the question isn't which game has the hypothetical best fishing. I'm going to say Red Dead. I really like the fishing in that game. It's really satisfying and relaxing, and I like it. It's not an exciting answer, but...
Well, we're talking about fishing, so...
Yeah, see, that's the thing. Yeah, it's hard to, like, what's the best fishing in a game? Like, I really appreciate this question, but it's kind of like...
It's different. It's a different question. I appreciate that.
How come there's not a VR fishing game? There must be.
There probably is. And it's probably...
I feel like I'd know about it. And I'm surprised that Gary hasn't done the Red Dwarf joke. Actually,
don't even get into this. No, don't even get into Red Dwarf here, right?
Well, no, the where he goes fishing.
2 pound black rib nobbler.
Nobbler, that's the one. Yeah, yeah.
I'll be honest. I didn't think of it.
Oh, mate, I was waiting, and I thought, no, I'm going to let Gary have that one.
For fuck's sake! And what was going on? You're on about toasters. I was like, what's happening?
Yeah, no, when you didn't know who Talkie Toaster is, I was just.
Well, like, come on.
No.
Like, I know Red Dead, Jesus. Red Dwarf, right? Like, I know kind of what it was, but, like, I just didn't go near it because...
Well, that's your problem, mate. I'm sorry. It's not for us to, you know, to worry about your
failings. I feel like I was
failings.
Watching better shows. There you go.
But you weren't, though. That's the thing. You weren't.
How do you know, Adam? How do you know?
Because I've watched it and you haven't. Boom,
did you watch what I was watching?
What was it?
Well, I don't know. Were you there when I was watching it?
I might have been.
Fuck it, tell me what I was watching then. Yeah, fuck you.
Bottom?
No, you're so British.
Okay, see, I can't come up now with a show without it sounding mildly, like, racist, essentially. I was going to, like, say the Late Show with, and then I was thinking, well, what Irish name can I come up with that it actually isn't just a generic Irish name? Give me, Gary, you do it that way, and then I'm not being...
Oh, yeah,
nasty.
Throw me under that bus.
I do know one, and I can't think what his bloody name is, because
a generic Irish name.
No, I'm trying not to come up with a generic. I'm trying to come up with, like, someone like the equivalent of David Letterman, because I know there was a show in Ireland that was like that.
Oh yeah,
but I don't want to make up his name because
you
could
say
sound...
Liam Neeson. He's Irish, and he's definitely not like the most Irish name you'll ever hear. So. Oh.
Well, terrible.
If you're trying to find that show that you're talking about, are you on about the Late Late Show?
Yes.
And it would have been, there was three hosts. I think the newest one is Ryan Tuberty. The one
I'd never have got that.
The one prior to that was Pat Kenny.
Can I guess that the third one's name is Kieran?
Oh, you're fucking so off there.
Is it a woman, for a start?
The original Late Late Show host was a man known as Gay Byrne.
I know that name. Was he not in Father Ted?
No.
Okay. Let's move on before strange. Okay. Right, Thomas at Larmathlaff, this is a great question, and another one I feel like I can answer really easily. With Hitman 2, Fallout 76, Spyro and Pokemans? But yeah, let's go with it. Fuck it. All landing on the same week. Who do you think will be this year's sales casualty? We can't catch them all. Sorry. Great pun at the end.
Hitman.
I'm going to say, yeah, Hitman.
Yeah, out of them, definitely Hitman.
Yeah. Fallout 76, I think, will be the one that critically does poorly. But, like, we ran some polls and it won. Like, people want to play that game. I'd be honest with you, I want to play that game because I feel like I want to see what that game is. And that's got a lot of adverts on the telly. The what?
That poll, though. I mean,
yeah, I know. Look, but let's move on from that. But like, the Fallout is the game that is like advertised between football matches.
Yeah.
Spyro is just nostalgia. People will buy it, whether they won't, you know. And Pokemon's Pokemon, and Hitman. Without moaning about it, we didn't get review code until very late. We are hoping to bring a review for it, but like that feels like a game they should have sent out a million review copies and begged everyone to write about. And I feel really bad for IO Interactive because I think they're a great studio. And I, you know, for people who follow me as well as God is a Geek, know I reviewed it elsewhere and really liked it. And the critical reception generally has been they really like this game. So I think that's a shame. Yeah, I don't know. There you go. I think it's going to do the same as it did last time. And it's a shame because I felt like, from what I'd seen of the marketing, like with the way they got Sean Bean and stuff, I feel like Warner got it. I feel like they got what the game was all about. And then at the last hurdle, it's like, and I know we aren't the only people who didn't get review code. And it's like, you know, everyone, there's no entitlement to it. Like you're not entitled to an early copy, but like, at some point when you've been doing it nearly 10 years, you sort of expect it a bit, and it is what it is, and there's no point moaning about it.
Considering what happened to IO initially, you'd think, this is a game, they want this pushed as much as possible beforehand. So it's just like, it should have been out with plenty of time to spare for review, and it's a shame, because I do think this game's going to suffer a lot because of it.
It's a crying shame because it really deserves to do well. But hopefully we're wrong.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, I sound stupid saying these things anyway because I never played the last one. But
It's in Game Pass. It's in Game Pass.
Yeah, but I think it was you that said last time, like, you might as well wait and play this one because this one's got that content in it.
And so I don't 100% know. So it has, if you had the previous game, I think you might need to buy like the expensive edition to get all of the first levels as well.
Right,
I'm not 100% sure on that, if I'm completely honest with you.
Oh, fair enough.
Like, I'm not entirely sure. I was a bit confused because it's like when I was reviewing it on PC, it literally said that all that content was installed, but it never let me play it. So I don't know if that was because it was pre-release.
Yeah.
But I know that definitely if you have Hitman on PS4 or Xbox and you buy the new game on that, you'll get that content.
Right.
But
like I say, first one's on Game Pass, so I've always got that option to just dive in and have a go.
Darren at ROTMM asks another great question. I want to thank our listeners because these are great questions. When was the last time you felt so divorced from the widespread critical reaction to a game? Either positive or negative. This isn't a question about a game that is lowly rated that you still love it for all its faults, or the opposite, you know, you hate it but you can see why it's lauded, but one where you just genuinely cannot fathom the praise or derision a game is getting. So the one...
I feel like if we were in a room together, everyone would be looking at me right now.
Well,
every
then
single
I'll
one
it.
Of you
I'll,
would be
I'll,
looking
I'll
at
it.
Me.
Because I know what your answer would be.
I'll say the game that I think what he's asking here is there a case where it's like, I just don't get it?
Yes.
Yeah.
And for me, as much as we muck around and joke, Smash Brothers, I do not get it. I play a fighting game, and even if I'm shit at it, I can appreciate the technical nuances that other people are good at. Smash Brothers, I just don't see what people love about it. I feel so divorced from it when people are going on about how great Smash Brothers is and, oh, yeah, we need the GameCube controller so we can... Like, why? This game is bad and people love it. They love this game, mm-hmm. this series. And, like, Nintendo are almost hanging their whole year on that game. And I'm like, I just... Like, I will not be reviewing it for God is a Geek, Nintendo, if you're listening. Don't worry. We've got someone lined up for it who really likes it. Well, not that. The series. She's a fan of the series. I do not get it. Will never get it. I just... I can't see what people are seeing in it. Mm. Like, I don't get why everyone loves it. Is it because it's got loads of characters in it? Is it because it's Nintendo? Because
it's just that competitive game. It's just that really competitive Nintendo fighting game that just... It has a history of just that, and it's never going to go away, and...
But it doesn't feel like if you are better than me at that game, you definitely win. It doesn't feel like that. To me, when I've played them, yeah. and it doesn't feel like, oh, no, this guy's clearly better than me. I find like at the end of the match, it's like, I ain't got a fucking clue why I'm not good, you know.
But he's also asking as well in this question, I think, a game... I think it's like two answers you must give, if I'm right.
Well, I can give my answer for the other one as well. Like, the other one was more recent. Yeah. It was... Sunset Overdrive.
Okay.
I really liked that game, and yet it got smashed in the critics, and I'm like, I don't get it. This game is just balls out fun. It's Insomniac. It's I don't get it. I don't get it. I don't get why you're not liking it. It mechanically is great fun. Yeah, just didn't get it. Didn't get what everyone didn't like about that.
If I'm going to pick to answer that part of it, for some reason, it always comes into my head straight away, but I really enjoyed Lollipop Chainsaw. It's one of those.
Lollipop Chainsaw is an excellent game.
It's an excellent.
Yeah, excellent.
Like, yeah, like, it's so much fun.
At the time, man, that was getting like 2 and 3s, like out of 10. And I just was kind of like, this is like, I remember playing it and just being like, this is crazy. It's hilarious. Yeah, it's not amazing, but it's not broken either. Like, and people were reviewing that game as if it was unplayable. Like the way the Quiet Man is getting reviews. Like, I'd say there's probably higher reviews on the Quiet Man, which is ludicrous. But yeah, so I picked Lollipop Chainsaw for that one. And then, if I'm going to be brutally honest, as a right note to answer the other part of that question, I'm going to have to say Fortnite. I'm sorry. I there's as time is going on with Fortnite, I'm really beginning to really fucking hate it. Like, I think... first off, the game is just not for me. I've played it and I'm not good at it. I don't have the pace to the building thing. I get people are great at these kind of games and look, that's fantastic. But what really makes me dislike the game is it's making a lot of kids into little shitheads. And that's just like, I'm not even saying that for comedic value, but it's the truth. I'm seeing
just a nice bonus.
Yeah, it's just I see a lot of kids who play Fortnite and they're little pricks, and I'm like, yeah, I don't know what it is. What made this game think you're this way? But it's annoying.
I don't know that this is really in the spirit of his question. But one thing I really dislike is like revisionist history. Like, I hear a lot of people now saying about how good Darksiders was, but how the sequel wasn't, and I'm like, I don't know what planet you're on.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I would say, I mean, I still think the first one was better, but the thing that I loved about that series is that they were two actually very different games.
Yeah, you know, DNA. But...
Yeah, it wasn't like, I mean, I can't think of a good example. Maybe say Tomb Raider, for example. Like, the first Tomb Raider, the second Tomb Raider were basically the same game, just with a few extra bits. Whereas, like, Darksiders was kind of like a Zelda game, and then Darksiders 2 was more like Diablo sort of thing. You know, it was like, it was more of a loot adventure game with more story than Diablo, but yeah. And yeah, I mean, I still don't get why people were like, Darksiders 2 wasn't as, you know, wasn't that great. I was like, yeah, it bloody was. It was very good.
I've just remembered a more recent one, Arms. Everyone seems to love Arms.
Is that still doing well?
I think it's. I just don't get it. I don't get why people are raving about that. I
completely forgot about like, arms.
It's it. I don't know, Gaz. Have you got any that have interest?
I mean, seriousness,
like the time to be Caravan Gary is gone.
No, I think. Yeah, I mean, it's probably Dark Souls 2.
In the
most recent one, because
what in that you loved it and others didn't.
Yeah, like some of the reactions that game got.
And yeah, I agree.
I mean, it's some of it. It's almost like the Xbox thing again. It was like, it was a game that almost couldn't win because it's like if it had been exactly the same as Dark Souls 1, people were like, oh, it's the same game. You know, what's the point? But then they tried to change some stuff. They did something different, and they were like, no, I don't like that. But one of the things that, again, pissed me off a lot was like, oh, I hate that you have to go back to, I forget the place now, you know, the woman to level up every time. And I hate that the levels weren't all connected. Yes, that's it, thank you. And it's like, oh, I hate that the levels aren't all connected and things like that. And then it's like, yeah, Dark Souls 3 did that as well. Bloodborne did that. And they were like, oh, no, yeah, but they're the best ever. I was like,
yeah. You
can't have one rule for one rule for another. It's not the way it works. I genuinely think that is still my favourite of the Dark Souls games, and that's just the way it is. No one's going to really change my mind on that.
Can I just quickly ask, Adam, what would be your favourite Dark Souls game out of the three?
Out of those three?
Yeah.
Three, I think, probably.
I think
3-2-1, I think, for me. I mean, obviously of the lot, it's Bloodborne. Like that, didn't put it in news because it's like, you know, but there's like a new boss. People have data mined. I don't know how they're doing it. I'm guessing they've got access to the code somehow via PC, and I think it's
there'll
fascinating.
Be some way around,
stuff.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. But like, no, I think probably three. But two's a close second, and I think one's my least favorite.
I think the other part of the question, I kind of have to break character a little bit because I know everyone's expecting me to just like cause...
Well, that's the thing I did with like Smash, isn't it? The joke is Adam hates Smash. I don't hate it. I actually find Smash frustrating because I just can't get it.
Yeah.
I just don't get it.
Well, like for me, it's like obviously I do like Bloodborne now. I didn't at the beginning. I couldn't get on with it, but I played it through eventually and I enjoyed it. But I like to play on that because it's fun, you know. You have a bit of a laugh at having a dig at things. I mean, it's usually based on a real opinion, but I just play it up a bit. Whereas this, I kind of have to say that I don't think these days. I don't think there's anything that I don't really I hate that much,
that's the trouble.
Like that much that others don't. Kind
there
of
aren't many games that come out now that are like just. That's why The Quiet Man sticks out because it is fucking bad.
That's it because
like, games don't do that very often.
Like I kind of hate to say it, but I'm too nice at times because I'm kind of like I hate that bit of that game or I really don't like that game, but in the back of my mind I'm saying, but I know that other people do and I can kind of see why they like that. I just don't. So it's like I don't have that extreme feeling anymore. It's weird.
I mean,
maybe it's just because I'm getting older.
Well, this feels like a sort of thing we should stick behind the Patreon paywall because breaking character on the podcast. But you know,
it'd be hey, you could stick that question in the Patreon section, a bit of an extra bonus for them.
Yeah. Well. That is the end of the podcast. If you didn't know, you can go to patreon.com/godisageek and you will get extra content, exclusive content, early access to the content, and all manner of other things. And we appreciate that. Even just for $1 a month, you get all that stuff. But other than that, it's time to sign off and say thank you very much for listening. Adam, you are at Adam Zokes. Gary is at BlueFury47. I'm at GBSF. And of course, at GodisAGeek on Twitter. And if you do like this podcast, I can't stress enough, go to iTunes or wherever you listen and subscribe. Make sure that you review and you rate and all that stuff because it really, really helps. The more places you subscribe to us, the more people hear the podcast because it's pushed up the charts. Adam, Gary, thank you very much.
Pleasure.
Thank you.
And we will speak to you next week or whenever you choose to listen. Bye-bye for now.